The next most important part of meditation is being ready and able to release. Most people are so wound up and uptight, they can't let go. It inhibits their flow. One of the paradoxes of our sacred journey is that we kind of have to lose ourselves in order to find ourselves. If you're very rigid, stuck and tied into dogma, if you have lots of rules and regulations and obligations and set ideas, you can't really transcend. What you have to do is somehow put away the beta rhythm and the intellect and your opinions and allow yourself to let go. So wanting to meditate is the first part. Letting go is the second part. The third part is deciding and comprehending that you are a spiritual being. I know that sounds odd to most people because I'd imagine that most people who are listening to these tapes think that they are a spiritual being. But there's a huge difference between thinking you're a spiritual being and actually knowing it. So if I say to you, what does infinity feel like? If you don't have a very definite idea of that, you can't tell me. You'll say, well, I think it's like this, Stu, or I think it's like that. But what does infinity actually feel like? If I say to you, bro, sister, you're eternal, that doesn't work if it's just an intellectual concept. It has to resonate as this internal dong inside of you. So if I say to you, are you eternal? You can smile and say, of course I'm eternal. Knowing it from feeling, knowing it from a deep sense of awareness. Not just grasping at it as an intellectual idea, stretching for it from a distance. Knowing that you're eternal is feeling eternal, feeling that you've transcended this earth plane, that there is no death, that you truly are an immortal spiritual being. So deciding you're a spiritual being is vital, absolutely vital. This life is a spiritual journey. It's not a journey where you think you're spiritual, where you think you're doing lots of lovely things, where you think you're important or superior or chosen or selected or whatever. It's a place where you know the greatest gift you can possibly acquire is the gift of serenity, silent power, power that's not wielded, power that's not outwardly expressed necessarily, power that's not leaning into people, demanding observers, demanding affection, demanding praise, demanding a special table in the restaurant, demanding treatment that others aren't getting, demanding others to confirm you, underwrite with you, agree with you, praise you, build you up. Silent power, it's a subtle energy where you reach a spiritual psychological transcendence, where you know who you are and you don't have any apologies to make, but you have nothing to assert either particularly. You don't necessarily at this time have to like what you are, and you don't necessarily have to be perfect. The incredible beauty of this journey is that perfection isn't actually what we're seeking. What we're seeking is reconciliation. Now that may sound odd, but reconciliation is where you can look in the mirror and say, this character, slightly less than perfect of course, this character is okay. That is reconciliation. That is where you embrace the God force within you, where you finally come to accept yourself. I'll tell you why this is important. God, the God force, whichever way you want to refer to God, accepts you. Unconditional love is really a form of acceptance. It's also a form of concentration. The God force accepts what you are and isn't judging or criticizing or desiring things for you. When you can look in the mirror and accept the character that is you, warts and all, you're expressing that divinity within you. The other thing that's very important that makes meditation successful is love. Love is a form of concentration. When you fall in love with another person, you're concentrating upon them more than you're concentrating upon other people. So romantic love, as we understand it anyway, is defined as extremes of concentration upon a person that you fancy. Love of your children is concentrating and caring for them. Love of your spouse is the same. Love of your church, love of Jesus, whatever. It's all heightened concentration. So when you turn within and you begin to concentrate on the subconscious mind, you discover a deeper identity in there. That identity is different to the waking state ego personality. It's different to the boasting, noisy, frightened ego. In there, there's a deep sense of spirituality. In the subconscious mind, there's a deep sense of self, a deep sense of your true spiritual identity. Turning within through meditation is the act of concentrating upon that. So therefore, it becomes an act of loving yourself. Now, this is not a narcissistic love. It's not a love where you're just so full of your wonderful qualities that you make everybody throw up. It's just watching, looking, learning, desiring to improve, desiring to raise your energy, desiring to go through that transactional process where you discover the nature of and the language of the soul. And of course, the soul is the personality. It is the mind. So looking within, you discover who you are. And by concentrating upon your inner self, you enhance that process where you embrace the true spiritual being. It's your sacred way of honoring the God force by concentrating upon yourself. Now, setting up the meditation. The meditation obviously involves discipline. So the first thing you have to do in setting up your meditation is to agree to the discipline. Because to meditate every so often, like when you're on the bus going to the office or on a plane going somewhere, is fine. And it's certainly relaxing, but it doesn't really work as a spiritual discipline. What you need to do is, if you're going to meditate properly, is to do it on a regular basis, even if it's only 10 minutes a day. I recommend 24 minutes a day, 1 minute for every hour of the day, which seems reasonable to me. But it ought to be a daily thing that you perform on a regular basis at the same time each day. That way, energy builds and a power comes around you at the time that you select. Also, I believe that those inner guiding forces, that part of you that is connected to the universal mind, operates better when it can feel you sort of arriving and leaving on a regular basis. It's almost like the in-breathing and out-breathing of the cosmic mind begins to align to the fact that you're doing this daily meditative practice at the same hour and hopefully at the same place each day. I also suggest that people rise early. In the olden days, when I was training with my teacher, learning about esoteric philosophies, unraveling myself and getting my act together metaphysically, I used to rise at 4 a.m. and I would walk in the forest every day in the dark. And I did that for 3 years, waking every day, walking along, and being a part of that serenity, that quietness. That's why I learned about the Tao. That's why I learned about the grace of God in all things. And that's why I learned to calm my mind and to calm my personality, to really look in a rational way at what are my desires? Who am I? What do I want? Where am I going? After I'd done the walk, I'd come home and I'd have a cup of tea and I would shortly thereafter begin my meditation. I did that for 24 minutes every day for 3 years. Now that was many moons ago. But I've been meditating ever since. Now, I don't quite do it in the same way as I used to do it, because there's a strange thing about discipline. If you do them for too long, you enter into a spiral of diminishing returns. It's almost as if in doing it, because you get fed up, you become sort of automatic, and you're doing it like a complete dummy, and nothing comes from it. So now I do meditate when I feel like it. Or I will set myself a discipline and meditate every day for 30 days because I'm working on something. So you can adjust the discipline as time goes on. But at the beginning, I suggest that you decide on a discipline of meditating each and every day. And then eventually you can adjust that whichever which way pleases you. So setting up the meditation is a decision to enter into that spiritual discipline. Now, for those of you that have difficulty sitting still, you can make your meditation walking in the forest. You can get your Walkman and put your headphones on and put one of these metronome tapes on and just allow the metronome to bathe you in its serenity. So let's say you're walking through the forest and your tape's on. You can actually enter into a trance state walking along with your eyes open. You don't necessarily have to be lying down, although, of course, lying down or sitting still in a chair is the preferred method. Certainly, if you use the metronome as you're walking along with your eyes open, you'll be in high theta or perhaps low alpha. So you won't get as deep down as you would as if you were doing it on your own quietly somewhere. But you can certainly experience the feeling. You can experience the sense of magic, that excitement that comes from traversing two worlds. The world of external reality and the inner world with all its magic and its information and its awesome power. And certainly that for me has always been the motivating force in this meditation discipline, is accessing and looking into those inner worlds. Because if that wasn't there, I don't know that I'd really meditate. I mean, yeah, I fancy the stress reduction and I certainly would like my physiological being to, you know, to be stronger and so on. And I'd like to rest and release. But in the end, it's this idea of moving through the subconscious mind into other dimensions of mind that are not normally available to us that excites me. And of course, the more you meditate, the more those inner doors begin to open.